Hello, beautiful people. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us here. I'm here with my beautiful sister, Courtney Turner. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear her story. Now, I have to tell you, this is our second time recording this, right, Courtney?
It is.
And I don't want to give anybody any credit for the issues that we've had in keeping her story. But what I will say is God's going to use her mightily today. So we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer quickly. Lord Jesus, you know the intentions here, Lord God, is for your truth to be shown, your light to be shown, Lord God, and for everyone who hears, Lord Jesus, to hear your name louder than they hear ours, Lord Jesus. This is your platform. This is your podcast. Use it for your glory, Lord Jesus. I just invite your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit's already here. Hello. Thank you for being with us. Use us for your glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Courtney, last time we talked, we were talking about teenage Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
And we started about age 14.
We did.
So can we pick up there? Can you tell me about 14-year-old Courtney?
14-year-old Courtney was the 14-year-old singing sensation. And I just had been through a lot in my childhood. And so by 12, I had become basically a professional singer. So 14, mm-hmm. I was established.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up going to Nashville. And just to skip a few years, by 19, after a whole lot in between those years, I am now on the platform that I have been dreaming about my life. I am going from stage to stage, auditorium, tour bus. My manager and George Strait's manager are our business partners, and I am in the end. Okay. I get out on these big stages and I have dressing rooms and lights and I mean, everything that's supposed to make you happy, and I'm not. And so my mom was still struggling. She was still an addict, alcoholic, you know, prescription, you name it. Mm-hmm. Always needing money, always having problems. I was depressed. There was a price to pay for those glittery lights. Yeah. And that price was just me, my life. And so the more stages that I was on, the closer I got to everything. I was right there, Ashley. I was at that tipping point where you might have known my name beyond sitting here, that Jesus loving wild girl. You may have known me from a song, but I was right there at that stage, in literally,
mm-hmm.
no pun intended. And I was done. I couldn't go any further. And I just said, God, if you're real, save me, in my room, just broken, defeated. I'd put on this big facade. Externally, I looked so just, well, I mean, you know, fake, but glittery to most.
Put together, yeah.
Put together. A lot of makeup, a lot of jewelry, a lot of this, a lot of that. And, but inside, if you strip all that away, there was a broken girl that was just, she was empty and she was lost. So I cried out and I said, God, if you're real, save me. And last time we talked, one of the things was that all throughout my life, we had gone to churches, I'd been to church camps. They always would help my mom. I didn't remember scripture, but I knew Genesis and I knew they ate an apple and I was scared of Revelation. And that's about all I remembered. But I remember from church, they helped. They made my Little Red Riding Hood outfit and a play I did in kindergarten. You know, there was just things that people had done, and that all kind of flashed back in that moment. Just the goodness of God that I had seen in people that had told me about the Lord that I brushed off and said, okay, thanks, bye. And I said, are you real? Save me. I literally, we have a parade of children that at any moment may.
Remember, guys, this is a real podcast.
This is the reality.
We are wives and mothers, and our ministry is our family first. So you're going to hear kids in the background. We don't even care.
It's so true. So anyways, I walk into the other room and there's a preacher preaching, which is a miracle within itself. And then the next day, my mom actually calls me and said, Courtney, there was a strange man in line at the store and he asked how you were doing in Nashville. Of course, she has no idea that the night before I was on the floor, God save me. And she said he wanted me to give you a message to tell you to read Romans 8:28. And at that time, I didn't have an iPhone where you could multitask. So I said, okay, I got to go by. I didn't even know what Roman was. You know, like, I was like, is that in the Bible? So I Google it. And as soon as I read that God causes all things to work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes, something happened in me and hope was born. Mm-hmm. Where I had no hope. And I really remember that was the biggest thing. I felt hopeless. You know, that what is there? What else is there? If everything that I ever thought in life would satisfy me, if it's right here and I'm walking in it and touching it and it's not working, then I'm hopeless. Then what more could there be? A little more fame, a little more money, a little more this, like it's already not working. And so I had hope that God somehow could take my broken pieces, my almost famous self, and do something amazing. And it did not immediately happen, let me tell you. Let me tell you, he'll break you
right
before he'll make you.
There's a lot of steps in between that.
Oh, yeah. So I sat at that. What do you do when you ask God into your heart? Well, you go to church. So I just didn't know much about church except for it's church. I didn't know denominations. I didn't know anything. I mean, I grew up, we went to a Methodist. So I see this beautiful church across from Vanderbilt University, and I started going and I sat on the back row for 6 months just going, help, God, there's nothing here, you know? And I thought, I did not know what to do because I was like, you know, you were real in my room, but there's nothing here. And I felt like lifeless in there. But I kept going because I was just like, this is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to go to church. And a friend of mine told me about this church that was diverse. And I thought, I don't know, diverse in church, is that going the same sentence? What do you mean?
Right.
But again, I was a little clueless, which worked in my interest. So I just said, okay. I finally went after 6 months. I'm a little stubborn. Sometimes it takes me a long time to figure something out. And I go, and actually I walked in there, and these people were just worshiping the Lord with every fiber of their being, hands up, praying in tongues, dancing, shouting to Jesus. And I said, I want that. Mm. So I ended up after service, I went to this girl, said, hey, you have something and I want it. And I had no idea about the Holy Spirit. I had no idea what I was missing. I don't even know why I did that. So Pastor Rice, he wrote God's Not Dead, the movies, God's Not Dead. And he also did this thing called the Purple Book, a disciple book. And so she gave it to me and said, hey, I want you to read about the Holy Spirit. And then we'll all meet up in a week and we'll pray for you. And I'm thinking, I want you to pray for me now. But okay, I'm obedient, whatever. I don't know what I'm asking. So I just have to do whatever you tell me.
Right.
So as I'm reading, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, you read about the Holy Spirit, you're like, whoa, 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 tongues of fire, wind, whoa, what? You know, like what's going on here? And so I had to go out on the road again. So it took about another week. So finally that day comes. And I've got this big old Escalade and blinged out clothes because, you know, God changes your heart, but your wardrobe might take a little bit longer to. Anyway, so I get out of this car and I go inside and I'm like, hey, y'all. And they're like, hey, Courtney, kind of small talk. And I'm like, look, let's get to business here. Let's do what we came for, what I came for, because I've been waiting 2 weeks. Feels like 2,000 years.
Right.
So they start praying for me. There's three girls there. They lay their hands on me and, you know, they just start praying in tongues. Now, mind you, I'm not familiar with tongues, but it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I know some people, you know, tongue, for me, it didn't bother me. I'm like, cool, if that's what it is, whatever. But they're just sitting there, shalabaraba surbaka, and nothing happens. So I just politely said, girls, ladies, I thank you for your time, but this is just not working for me, and that's okay. I don't know what I expected, and but I'm just like, I'm not getting anything, you know. I'm not feeling anything. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
And I was expecting to feel this, Ashley.
Like immediately.
I mean, to feel something.
For you to be like vibrating.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what happened. So as soon as I say thank you, I'm on, you know, basically at the road. Her name was Lindsay, and she was one of the girls there. She looked at me. She said, Courtney, open your mouth. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Open your mouth. And Ashley, it was like tingles in my, I don't know what it was. I had to put my hands over my mouth because I was like, I realized I had a little control issue. Something funny was working its way out. And I was like, I don't know you. Okay.
Right.
I don't know what you're about to do through my mouth. So I remember like putting my hands over my mouth and just, should we pause it? I'll pause it for a minute.
Guys, thanks for sticking with us. Here is part two of our chat with Courtney.
Are trying to come out of my mouth, and it's just, it's a feeling that if you've never prayed in tongues before, and then you feel that, it's something that just, well, it makes you want to throw your hands over your mouth and not talk like I did. So I leave those girls. I tell you though, I'm feeling a little happy and glad and joyful, and something inside of me does feel different, but I can't figure out exactly what's going on yet. And I get in and I'm like, you know, it's nighttime. I duck real low and trying to open my mouth to practice this thing, to let this thing out. And it took a minute. Finally, I get to my bed and I start saying, Lord, help me open my mouth. Whatever you've given to me, let me receive it. And I just start praying, and it's just like, bam, bam, bam. Everything changed. Mm. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit changed everything for me. It literally made me come alive in Christ. Mm. And so I wanted him, I desired him, I was pursuing him, and now I'm alive in him.
Right.
And I started to hear his voice, and he would tell me what to do and send me out on these like God assignments. And it would be radical, like exactly what someone needed or exactly where I needed to go. It was just supernatural. Finally, he tells me that it's time to go, Courtney. You've got to leave your environment. I have to leave my condo. I have to leave my cars. I have to leave my, I had two closets of, you know, stage clothes, and I gave those to a women's home. And it's just, he said, literally the same voice that for all these months, because he spent about a few months just building me up in this prophetic and in the spirit and speaking to me and guiding me. And I mean, I was on fire. I knew him to be true. So when he said, I need you to get everything into your suitcases and go, you know, I trusted him. And it's funny because a friend, where am I going?
Right.
I don't know that part yet.
How old were you when this happened?
I was about 21. And so basically, I'm like, okay, God, he tells me and I'm prepared, but I don't know where or when I'm going. And I just started praying like, okay, God, I know something's coming. Just get me there. Give me the strength to get there. Well, a little kid timeout. Ashley, where was I?
Okay, so we had just talked about where you, how old you were. And you were selling literally everything.
Okay, giving it away.
I'm sorry, giving it
away. Yeah, like so God's told me at this point, he's prepared me, you're going to leave literally, I felt like he said, two suitcases. And so, again, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know how God can tell you something and you have no clue what's going to happen or how that's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
But then a friend calls and says, hey, so-and-so is leaving her one bedroom, a condo, which was like down the street of where I lived, and needs someone to take over her lease. I'm like, okay, there it is. And so I go into this office, but as I'm filling out this paperwork for this condo, which, but mind you, my area is like expensive anyways. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to afford this. How is this? I'm not even going to pass this test of an application, right? You know? And I remember telling this girl, like, I don't know if I'm going to meet, you have to make like four times as much for these. So I was just like, I don't even know if I'm going to have $5, you know, like, I don't know what my future holds. And she's just like, which is odd. This girl's like, just fill it out, like what you have now. And, so I filled out everything I had then and waited 3 days. They didn't call me for 3 days. And I was just like, God, let them call me. But then I was like, but don't, if it's not your will, because I can't make it. I'm in agony. And then 3 days later, the lady says, Courtney, you've been approved, which is the angels did my paperwork. Right. and come pick up your key. And I was like, okay, now's the time. It's it. I'm ready. And so literally my friend Aaliyah, who is, I told you, is a worship leader now, she came to pick me up, because I mean that was just going to be me and my suitcases. And she takes me to buy a little $20 go, because I didn't want to spend too much money. I only had like a little bit, and it had to last me for the rest of my life. It wouldn't have. It was actually 5 months worth. And I was there a year in that little apartment. And I fought God. It was a tough season. I mean, imagine, I left everything, went to an empty apartment, bought this $20 blow up mattress that deflated through the night. And I woke up the next morning in this empty place with my deflated air mattress. And I said, what have you done, Courtney? You actually lost it. You did. And you know, your mind can, you can be like, well, okay, God, what now? And do you want to know something really funny, Ashley? All of a sudden, once I moved and once I took that leap of faith and left everything, God went silent. And he stopped speaking to me. It was like, help, help. What do I do now? Nothing. Crickets. And the only thing that I knew to do was to read the Bible. I wasn't as familiar with the Bible. I mean, all those, that time since I've become a Christian, I mean, I've been eating the word, but like still, I mean, I have a lot to go. So I just would read every day, all day long, because some days I couldn't go. I had to wait for someone to come pick me up, right, yeah. You know, to take me to church, to take me anywhere. I wanted to get out of the house so bad. When I finally did get a car, I just would go down the street and come back. You could forget. Right. Even though I'd had a car since I turned 16, it's like that season. But the most painful season sometimes, the ones you run away from, the ones that you think are just torture seasons, it built me up with everything I stand on now.
Right.
The word. Because I've realized feelings fade. Sometimes God speaks to you clearly and sometimes you don't hear anything. But what never fails is the living word of God that is alive and active and is relevant to wherever you are. And if we rely, if I relied on my, you know, God speaking to me or my feelings of him, then where would I be right now? Because I'm a human and my feelings can get out of whack sometimes.
All the time.
So yeah. God wanted me to have a firm foundation. He's in that process, he's stripping me because I needed to be broken down. I remember when he finally sent me back to Georgia, I was kicking and screaming. I did not want to go. Has God ever sent you somewhere you don't want to go?
Yes, absolutely.
But I'm passing this big church on the road and I hear his voice. He started kind of speaking to me again little by little. And his voice says, Courtney, I have to break you to build you. And it just made things make, it wasn't what I wanted to hear, I guess. And it wasn't the heaven singing choir of angels, but it made sense to me. Okay, God, I get it. I have been built on a rocky, not solid foundation. You had to break me off that, chisel me down and rebuild me. And it hurts and it's painful and it's not pretty, but you're going to build me back up.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
And right now I am almost 15 years old in Jesus.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be a teenager?
Oh man, this teenager feels great.
Yeah.
15 in Jesus is way better than 15 was without him.
15 in Jesus is like 70 in adult years.
I always say you want to know the Bible like great grandmama, yeah, and you want to have childlike faith. Mm. And so I have been able to just read the Bible and eat it up and consume his word and to let it be my anthem and my lifeline. And now he's taken me, see, back in the day, you know, I would gather people and throw them in my kitchen and pray for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'd be at a Baptist church. So that was what you called rebellious, wild.
Yes.
It's crazy Pentecostal. Bapticostal. She's a Bapticostal. And now I'm in a season where about a year and a half ago, I'm going to tell you about a vision I had. Mm-hmm. I was about a little over a year and a half ago. And I was in prayer. And you know, I've always been worship. I love worship. I love singing. I've just loved singing forever. And I love worshiping Jesus through song. So that's kind of what I've always known. And God took that away, really. He had me step away from all of that. And I was just like, I don't know what I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What is my ministry? What is my platform, God? Just an honest question. You know, the Bible says to fan the flame of the gift he's given us. So I don't even know what that is if I'm not singing. And I'm in prayer just being honest with the Lord. God, where is that platform? Where is the ministry you have for me? And Jesus just says, come with me. And he takes me into what just all I know to be is like his courts. But it's like half a wall because I look out and it's just like a black kind of starry night, but it's just stars that were so bright everywhere. You could just, they were so contrast. It was just these bright stars. And I'm like, whoa, Jesus, what is that? And he says to me, those are souls, go get them. And that night it all started.
Now what you're describing is a vision, right?
A vision I had in prayer.
Okay. So you had a vision in prayer. Was it an open-eyed vision or was it a closed-eyed vision?
It might have been a cross-eyed vision. I don't know what kind of vision. I don't know what kind of vision.
The only reason I ask this is because, honestly, I've had both. I've had both open-eyed and I've had closed-eyed. Most of my visions are like closed-eyed visions.
It was in prayer. My eyes were closed. I was just kind of just praying like I always pray. And it was, my eyes were closed and I just kind of saw the Lord doing this, they just as my eyes were closed.
Yeah.
So I guess you'd call that a closed-eyed vision.
Closed-eyed vision.
And so that night there were some friends that were having a gathering, and I went over and there was a name that was just so strong on my heart and knew her well. And sure enough, she was there, and that was it. I mean, deliverance started. God showed me that deliverance, first of all, before this, I wanted nothing to do with it. If someone said that term, I would be like, next.
Right.
You know, I didn't do the distinguishing of spirits. I didn't do all that. Like, I was a singer.
Right.
I want to worship Jesus. I don't need all that demonic mumbo jumbo. But the reality is Jesus says that we're supposed to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. It's just part of the walk.
Right.
And we can't be afraid of it. We can't have all these ideas or theologies that are man-made. And I think God chose me to just know nothing, because if you know nothing and you're led by him, you end up places that you just can't deny. And so I ended up in that place that I just couldn't deny. And it was the least likely place. I wouldn't have gauged it. I wouldn't have discerned it. But I realized that there were a lot more Christians that had strongholds and needed freedom than we realized. And, you know, we can be sitting next to each other, walking hand in hand, but someone could still have a stronghold that needs to be dealt with. And so that started a ministry that's really just been consistent. And I've seen miracles. I've seen things that have challenged me. I've seen things that I would not expect to see, but ultimately I have seen
that there's been a healing that God has been wanting. He's wanted to clean his church, to clean his bride off.
Absolutely.
To get into our, there's Luke 11 says that he goes to every dark corner, right? And he shines that light, because the eyes are the light to the body, the lamp to the soul. Mm-hmm. When he said, be careful that what you think is light isn't really darkness.
Yeah.
And so when he searches us out and he shines his light into those hidden corners, then that might be painful and messy, but it produces a floodlight that shines into the soul and will make demons flee.
Come on, Jesus. Okay, so listen. We just took a slide so deep and dope in like 2.5 seconds. So for all the listeners out there who have never heard of deliverance ministry or deliverance at all, can you kind of touch and tell what you think, what would be your definition of deliverance?
Well, do you know that what I have seen is very simplistic. Okay, I know there's a lot of people with ministries. People send me things. Watch this. I will not, by the way. So if you listen to this, I just Jesus said to set captives free, to release prisoners from captivity, to command demons to flee. And so there are some moments where someone needs inner healing.
Yeah.
They have deep wounds. They have deep strongholds, trauma, sexual abuse, whatever, abandonment, rejection, whatever these issues are that they have built on top of. And they need to, God needs to bam that rock.
Right.
Just slice that thing open and deal with that. Sometimes there's just weeping and crying. Sometimes there's demonic strongholds. There are demonic principalities that have been attached to you, perhaps you haven't even realized, maybe some people have, and I have seen that also manifest in people, least likely. And listen, there's people that believe that if you're a Christian, you know, that you can't have that. But I always say this, well, look in the mirror. Are you struggling with something? Is there a stronghold of your mind? Is there, are you having a suicidal thought? That's demonic.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about with Peter when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Says, for you have a human way of thinking. Do you know that human ways of thinking are demonic according to the Bible? So when we have those earthly mindsets, those create demonic lies. And Jesus is purifying us. So deliverance to me is being set free from every rope that the enemy tried to tie around your neck, to choke you out, to cut you off, to kill, steal, and destroy from you. Whatever that looks like for you, if you're crying, if you're screaming, if you're, you know, manifesting, and, you know, I've seen, I won't tell you what all I've seen.
We'd be here for another
3 days. We would. But I have seen, I won't say I've seen it all because I've heard stories, but I've seen quite a bit. And again, I don't consider myself an expert. I consider myself a girl that loves Jesus and that wants to do what he's called me to do can't do it without him.
Right.
And so I just say yes, and he puts me in these uncomfortable situations so I get to choose to believe he is who he says he is and I am who he says I am, or cower and run away.
Mm.
You know?
This is so good. So what would you say to someone who they're listening, they've heard everything you've had to say, they've heard your story, and they're convinced that Jesus is real? What would you say to that person?
You are correct. And hallelujah, the angels just rejoiced and sang a good melody with you. You know, Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one true God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father but through the Son. So if you just realize that, then you are going to heaven. You have an eternal home. And even better, I won't say even better, but also as good and great, is that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. So you get to live. See, I think that's the thing. People think, okay, I accept Jesus and now I'm going to heaven. No, you're bringing heaven to earth, honey.
Yeah.
You're bringing heaven to earth. Oh. Everything that he wants to do, he's going to use you to do it.
So you get to heal the sick. You get to raise the dead. You get to cast out demons and set captives free. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So if you just said that, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus is Lord, and now you say, fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father. I'm going to just go ahead. Father, I thank you that whoever is listening to this, yes, if they know you as their Lord and Savior, God, if they have confessed Jesus is Lord with their mouth and believed in their heart, Father, baptize them in your Holy Spirit. Baptize them with your fire, Jesus. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. Give them boldness and authority that they would be your hands and feet. Do the same things that you did and even greater, Lord, by your power. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. You guys, listen, there's so much more I want Courtney to pour out to you. Okay, but listen, there's only so many hours in the day, and this woman is multi-talented and busy and a mom and a wife, right? So we're going to pause here. And I say pause because I pray that she gets to come back and give us some more of this good, amazing story of how God just radically shifted and changed her life and took her from hopeless to full of the Holy Spirit. I just trust him. I trust that he'll bring her back. And so if you have any questions or if you just want to say, hey, this is amazing, hit it up. Okay, guys, leave me a comment, leave a message. I'm sure Courtney will love to hear from you. And if you have received Christ as your Savior tonight for the first time, please, please, please reach out. I would love to hear your story, and maybe you too can be on a couple of change. But that'll be it for today, you guys. This is episode number 2, interview with Courtney Turner, her story shared. Send it to the masses. Send it to whoever you want, and let the will of the Lord be done. Until next time, guys. Bye-bye.